sound like, yeah. My tweenie is there saying, yes, Pastor. Praise God. Good to see you all in the house of the Lord this morning. Anybody who's here for the first time? First time. Oh, praise God. Welcome. God bless you. Thank you for being here. We're excited to have you. You'll receive a contact card, and if you can fill out your details, then we can get in touch with you in the course of the week. All right. Praise God. All right, we're going to get into the Word. I'm excited to preach the Word this morning. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the preaching of the Word. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for understanding. Father, the entrance of your Word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And this morning, Lord, we say, come speak to us. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know if I'm not too loud, but if you can just maybe lower me a little bit. All right, great stuff. Now, for the past 3 weeks, we've been dealing with a series titled From Rubble to Radiance. That has been the series that we've been dealing with these past 3 weeks. And today I want to do part three of that teaching. I don't know how long it's going to take us on this series. Please give me that slide. From Rubble to Radiance, we're doing part three this morning. We are building line upon line. And the thesis, okay, those were academics. The thesis or the thinking behind this teaching around from rubble to radiance is this. God wants us to know that he is a God of comebacks. Hallelujah. He's a God of resurrection. He's a God whom with him there is no situation that is beyond redemption. I don't know about you. It's possible for you to come to a place where you feel your life is beyond redemption. Your situation is beyond salvaging. You know, they talk about it's a write-off. You know, accidents, when accidents happen, you go, this insurance will tell you, this car cannot be salvaged. It's a write-off. And you look at your situation and you're like, I'm a write-off. I've been on this issue, or I've been dealing with this matter for years. It's a write-off. It's a foregone conclusion, but not with God. Hallelujah. Not with God. And we've been exploring the story of the Jews who were in Babylon. Just to give you a background for those who have not been with us, we've been exploring a story in the book of Ezra. And this is the story of the Jews who were in Babylon. And at the time that this story is written, King Cyrus was now in rulership. You need to understand that King Cyrus was the king of Persia who had overthrown the king of Babylon. In other words, Babylon had fallen under the hands of Persia. Babylon was a strong nation that had taken God's children from Jerusalem into Babylon as captives. You know, one warlord is overcome by another. So Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, had taken God's children from Jerusalem into Babylon, not knowing that his downfall is going to come. Babylon will be taken over. And Babylon was taken over by Persia. And now Cyrus was now the king at the time of the story of Ezra. And we see him rising up one day and saying, the God of Israel has come and stirred up my heart to go and rebuild Jerusalem. The very city that had been destroyed by Babylon. That is why we are saying there is no situation that is beyond redemption. Hallelujah. And so this morning I want to talk to you on a subject matter, faithful to the unfaithful. I want to talk to you on faithful to the unfaithful. I want you to realize that it has always been the case since creation that God has always been faithful, but man has always been unfaithful. I know you guys are good people. You guys are faithful. But I want you to know, as far as I know, man has always been unfaithful towards God. And you know what? It is human tendency to overestimate your ability. It's human tendency to overestimate your uprightness. That is why we judge ourselves based on intentions, but we judge people based on their actions. We think we're always better than we think. So, well, it wasn't my intention to be unfaithful. It wasn't my intention to cheat on my wife. Therefore, judge me on my intention, not on my actions. Come on now. We judge people on what we see them doing, but we judge ourselves on what we intended to do. It wasn't my intention to be involved in this corruption scandal. It was never intended. When this thing started, listen, understand me. When this thing started, it was not intended for us to be corrupt. But you got into it, right? Now, never underestimate your ability to be unfaithful. Never underestimate your ability of wickedness. There are times where I look at my heart and I say, man, if I wasn't born again, I don't know what I'll be doing right now. Because in the state of being regenerated, there are things that I have done and I look back and I'm like, God, I'm sorry about that. So never underestimate the wickedness in the heart of a man. Humanism, the worldview of humanism says humanity is by default good at heart. But the Bible says something else. In Jeremiah 17, the Bible says the heart of a man is wicked above everything else. So never underestimate what a man can do. That is why we must never put our trust in man. Because men will applaud you today and tomorrow they'll crucify you. The Lord Jesus shows us that. A couple of weeks before, they were putting palm branches on the streets. And they were saying, hail, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And a couple of weeks after, they crucified him. Crucify him! The heart of a man is wicked. That's why we need a Savior. The quicker you realize how prone you are to missing the mark, the easier it is for you to humbly submit yourself to God's grace. The easier it is for you to be gracious with your pastor when he doesn't give you a call. Yeah, he's a pastor, but he's never called me. Does he know where I stay? No. Do you know where he stays? Never underestimate the heart of a man. We judge people on their actions. We judge ourselves on our intentions. Now, the story of Ezra gives us a picture of the contrast between humanity and divinity. A contrast between the faithful God and the unfaithful people of God. So we said Israel found herself in captivity because she was unfaithful to God. She was unfaithful in idolatry. She sold herself to idols like we do today. We sell ourselves. We prostitute ourselves with money, with cars, with houses, with promotion. The unfaithfulness of man. So God said, I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to allow Babylon to come and take you into captivity and destroy this thing called the temple. And the temple, the tabernacle was destroyed in Judah. And now 2 weeks ago, we spoke about how Israel was unfaithful. And as a result, the demise of Jerusalem occurred. But now I want you to see something. That during Israel's unfaithfulness, we see God making two major promises. The first promise was, listen, because you're unfaithful, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to come and allow Babylon to besiege you, and you're going to be taken into captivity. And we saw how that promise was fulfilled. And then we see the second promise that we're going to just deal with this morning. And I want to go to Jeremiah 29, verse 10. The second promise was the restoration of Israel, which was going to take place within 7 decades, 70 years. God said to Jeremiah, tell these people, let's read it. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. Are we together this morning? Faithful to the unfaithful. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. After 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to you and bring you back to this place. Verse 11. Everybody knows that verse, isn't it? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I don't know if there's any believer who does not know Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Everybody knows on books, it's written on diaries and journals, screenshots, screen savers. You see Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. Don't you love that scripture? It just gives you some goosebumps when you're going through trouble. Because you know something good will happen. Hallelujah. Now this morning, we serve a speaking God. That's what I want us to understand. We serve a speaking God. And if you are to develop a meaningful relationship with God, you must get acquainted with a God who speaks. If you are to develop a meaningful relationship with God, you must be acquainted with a God who speaks. So put this down if you're taking notes. God always has a word for you that addresses your prevailing circumstances. God always has a word for you that addresses your situation. He will never allow a situation to go without heaven addressing it. And somebody needs to believe that this morning. It is either he is speaking in the moment or he has spoken already. And I want you to know that maybe you are waiting for God to speak, but he is saying, I spoke to you 3 years ago. I gave you a word, and that word hasn't changed. So it's either he is speaking in the moment or he spoke already. You must just search the moment and say, has the Lord spoken? Or I have to wait for him to speak. Glory be to God. Listen to me. The Bible tells us that God is always speaking. God is always speaking to humanity. Go with me to Job 33, verse 13. Many people are saying, God hasn't spoken. Why is God not responding to my situation? I've been praying for 16 years for this thing, but this thing hasn't changed. God hasn't said anything. Listen to what this conversation says. The Bible says, why do you complain to him that he responds to no one's words? How many of us have complained that God hasn't spoken to me? And therefore, we move away from God because God has not spoken. Verse 14. For God does speak. Now one way, now another. Though no one perceives it. It has never been an issue of God speaking. It has always been an issue of me not being able to perceive when God speaks. For God does speak now one way, now another. Though no one perceives. Verse 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn them from wrongdoing and keep them from pride. to preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing by the sword. The Lord has been speaking. The Lord has been warning us. Maybe you read an article saying something that has to do with what you're going through. You're still saying God hasn't spoken. My wife was reminding me a couple of days ago, and she was saying to me, you addressed this issue way back in 2017. I'm like, when did I address that? She said, go to your emails. Went to our emails, like, oh yes, I addressed this matter. And the very matter we are seeing going on today. So I want you to know, God has spoken to you. But we've not paid attention. Here, the Bible says, maybe in your sleep, in your dream. I want you to know God is always speaking in a vision or through your child. This morning we need to come to a place where we must seek what is God's word for a prevailing situation. God is not a bystander where he's like, I just want to watch and see what they're going to do. God wants to be involved in your life. And that is why the church must rediscover the art of hearing God's voice. I've got to rediscover the art of hearing God's voice. Put this down. When you seek God's word for a situation, you will either hear it, read it, or be reminded of it. When you seek God for what you're facing right now, and you wait long enough and patiently on God, you will hear it. You will listen to a sermon that speaks to your situation. Or you will read a passage in the Bible that will speak to you. Or God will remind you of a scripture. How many times have somebody come to you and say, the Lord spoke to me. He reminded me of this verse in Isaiah chapter 6, where God, when God says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Rather, Isaiah saying that. When King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Maybe you're experiencing a death in your life. And you say, the Lord just came and told me, even in this death, you will see me. That's how God speaks. Because he reminded you through his spirit that Isaiah was saying, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In other words, in this moment of death, I will see the Lord. That's how God speaks. So if you don't have the word in your heart, it becomes difficult for God to reach you. So you need to know God's mind, because that is what you'll go with into combat. That is what you'll go with into war. Last week we spoke about we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We said as believers, we must change the paradigm in which we fight. Though we are in the world, we spoke about this even during our prayer on Friday, that though we are in the world, we don't wage like the world wages war. Now, you need to know God's mind, because God's mind is the ammunition that you need when you go into a battle. And Jesus, we see Jesus showing us this way of doing things. Jesus, in the time that he was tempted in the wilderness, those of you who don't know, in Matthew chapter 4, from 3 to 4, we see Jesus being taken by the Spirit of God into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. And on all the temptations, we see how Jesus responded to the issues. He would respond in this manner, it is written. You don't go into war with your own thoughts. This is my view regarding this matter. Come on now, am I talking to somebody this morning? You don't go to war in the spirit with somebody else's ideas. The Lord Jesus was facing Diabolos right face on, and the enemy would say, hey, it was written that he will charge his angels to watch over you. Therefore, drop yourself from this pinnacle. And Jesus would say, it is written. It is written, you shall not put your God to test. Now, look at Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written. This was after the devil had said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, change these stones into bread. And take note, it says, if you are as if Jesus was not. If you are the Son of Man, if you are the Son of God, change these stones into bread. And Jesus responds and says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And Jesus is telling us something here. Yes, you need other provisions, but you cannot do without the provision of God's word. Hello, somebody? Yes, you need other provisions. You need friends around you. You need a job. You need to be married. You need children. You need promotion. But the Lord Jesus is saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. You cannot do without the provision of God's word. It means that you can never have enough bread. You can never have enough friends that you don't need Jesus. Come on, am I talking to you today? You can never have enough money that you don't need Jesus. You can never have enough connections that you don't need Jesus. And the devil wants you to think that all you need is network. You know, like we say, your network determines your net worth. Mm-hmm. Show me your friends. I'll show you where you're going. Let me tell you, show me the level of the word you have, and I'll show you where you're going. You might have great friends around you, but if you don't have God's word in your life, you are short-lived. Your prosperity is short-lived. It doesn't matter how glorious it looks like right now. Without the word from the Lord himself, that bread will run out. So, you might need all of these provisions, but nothing beats the bread of life, the word of God. So, God's word was present when Israel was committing idolatry. God's word was present when Israel settled in Canaan, the promised land. I want you to understand, there is no moment in your life that God's word won't be presented to you. God loves you too much to leave you by yourself. So when you go through your issues, there will be a word for you. When everything is going well for you, there is a word for you. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses was telling God's children, he says, hey, listen, when you get into the promised land, you'll do well. Because it's a promised land. There's milk, there's honey. You will do well. But remember, when you have gathered wealth, when you have done well, when you have been promoted, remember that it was the Lord who gives you strength to gather wealth. Many people, when they are promoted, they forget God. You were nothing when you got born again. Now you are something and you forget God. God forbid. Well, not you guys. You're here today. But I know of some people who God promotes. And in the process of promotion, they start telling God and poking his face like, hey, listen, I'm too busy. Don't you know I'm a CEO at work? I need to be at work. This prayer thing is for Antoine. It's for little ones. Right? Let's be careful. So, God's word was present when idolatry was being committed. God's word was present when everything was well with God's children. Now, the story of Ezra highlights the importance of God's word in the life of a believer. That's our story this morning. Faithful to the unfaithful. This word might not be applicable to you if you are one of those faithful people. But if you know you are prone to being unfaithful, this word is for you. Ezra chapter 1 verse 1. Now this is, those of you who have been here for 3 weeks, like, Pastor, when are you going to move from these scriptures? You've been there for 3 weeks now. It's tiring. Okay. Let's see. Let's see. No, line upon line, brick upon brick, isn't it? Now, Ezra 1 verse 1, the Bible says, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia,
so that the word of Jehovah by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, whilst Israel was in captivity, we see something profound occurring in which God comes onto the scene and putting into action a 70-year-old promise. Listen, there's nothing that God says and he cannot and will not fulfill. There's nothing that God speaks that he comes back and says, oops, that was a mistake. There's nothing that God says and he forgets about it. Put this down. God has the highest regard for his word, such that when he speaks, it is as good as done. That is why you need God's word. God has got the highest regard of his word, that when he speaks, you can bank it, like we say. You can take it as done. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, that word will be fulfilled. That is why we are told in Isaiah 55 that his word will not come back to him void. His word will fulfill, it will prosper in that which he has sent it to do. He has the highest regard of his word. That's why you need God's word. We have a problem today because we go with what people say to you. Well, because they promise me that they'll pay my school fees. I am so excited about varsity. Listen to me. Unless that person is God, you can go to bed. If that person is not God, keep on praying. Let God speak to you. I want you to know that man is very good at promising, but lousy at fulfilling promises. I've been a pastor long enough to understand what it means when somebody says, pastor, you and me will go into the fire together. When the fire comes, guess who runs first? The one who said, I'll jump with you in the fire. When I'm expecting them to look for a fire extinguisher, no, they're actually putting more kerosene on the fire. Don't go with what men say, go with what God says. You know, there's nothing wrong with trusting people, but trust has to be earned. If the courage of this person is not good enough to be trusted, don't trust them, love them. The Bible doesn't command us to trust people, by the way. The only thing that the Bible tells us, it says, oh, no man, nothing except love. I don't have to trust you, but I got to love you. I might not like you, but I got to love you, but I don't have to trust you. So if you promise me something, I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure you'll do it. Well, your track record says it. Pastor, this time around, this time I'll be there. You are not God. You are not God. Hallelujah. That's why we need God's word. I want you to be convinced today, you need God's word. You don't need a man's promise. You need God's word. Glory be to God. Because by the time 70 years had passed, many of the people who were taken into Babylon had died. Many of them who were alive had forgotten about the promise. Some of them had actually defected from the God of Israel to the God of the Babylonians. Listen to me, but not God. God had not forgotten his word. Though they had forgotten, there were a remnant in there that were turning around. There were those who were really waiting for the redemption time. But I want you to know there were some people who had left their posts. And the same thing can happen to you. When God has spoken to you, it is possible for you to leave your post. Why? Because it has been 2 months since this word was spoken. It has been 6 years since this word was spoken. Listen, nothing stops the fulfillment of a word whose time has arrived. I want to repeat that. When God has spoken to you, nothing can stop the word whose time has arrived. No authority on earth can override God's word that is ready to happen. And I've got this here for you. There is no place, no heart, and no system that can oppose the fulfillment of God's word in your life. I want you to know when God promises, it will override authorities. It will override systems. There are people here who God gave you a word and you saw God doing things that were not allowed. Yes. That were not permitted. Why? Because He's God. I don't know if I've got time to share with you one of those stories about my life. But I want you to know when God speaks, rules are changed. For you, for His word. And here we see God coming into the heart of Cyrus, a pagan king who was worshiping false gods. We don't hear that he had defected from his gods, but what we hear is that Cyrus's heart was touched by Jehovah. And he said, I'm going to go and rebuild Jerusalem. So there is no place, there's no heart, there's no system that can oppose the fulfillment of God's word. That's something that you can bank tonight. You can go to bed with, and you must search God's word for your situation. Man's infidelity cannot stop God's word from being fulfilled. Israel had been unfaithful, but God remained faithful. In Babylon, God said, I spoke a word through my servant Jerusalem. The Bible says God will not do anything before revealing it to His servants, the prophets. That's why we mustn't minimize the prophetic. When God speaks to you through a prophetic word, you better test it. And if it is God, take it home and war with it. That's why the Apostle Paul tells his son Timothy that wage war according to the prophetic word that was declared over your life. Many of you here have shelved prophetic words that were declared by men and women of God. Go back to the shelf and take it and say, yes, Lord, I believe this word. It was from you and I wait upon you. Does somebody hear me this morning? That is why I'm talking about being faithful to the unfaithful. The word of God cannot be stopped by systems. I mean, I've got many stories where God comes and He changes things. Even if it's for a moment, do you know that legislation can be changed just for 6 months for you to enter a system? And then they change it again. Just for you. Why? Because God of heaven has spoken. When I was doing my undergrad at UCT, those of you who don't know, I'm not a South African, by the way, but I'm a Christian. And then everything else follows. Came to UCT to study. My parents paid fees for my first year, but no money came through for my second year. And there I was as a foreigner in this nation. That was back in 2001. Some of you were not born. Just show you how old I am. All right? Back in 2001 at UCT, there I am at the point of being excluded financially at UCT. And I remember in May 2001, I said, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek your face. I'm your child. You brought me here. And as I was praying and fasting, the Lord spoke to me from Daniel. And He said to me, Michael, the same way I blessed Daniel in a foreign land, I will bless you in this nation. And I'm like, okay, bring it on, Lord. I don't know how it's going to happen. But in the process of time, I remember applying for a bursary through a friend of mine by the name of David Wilson. He's now in Australia. I applied for a bursary for one of the biggest construction companies. Back then it was Avenge, Greenacre LTA. And my application, how God knows, it went to the head office in Jet Park, where the MD of Greenacre looked at my application and my first year results. He said, this kid, who is he? Now I'm seeing my file. Now I'm working for Greenacre LTA down 6 years down the road. I'm looking at my HR file, and in there I'm seeing letters from different people. But one of the letters came from Howard Jones. I don't know where Howard Jones is. God bless your soul, wherever you are. Howard Jones looked at my results, and in the letter he wrote to the director in Greenacre, Cape Town, he says, give this guy a bursary. We know he's not South African, but we need this talent. The bursary book at UCT was written, bursary for South Africans only. Don't tell me God doesn't do things. That's the point where we clap our hands to the Lord. Glory be to God. It was not about me. It was about a God who released a word over my heart, which I believed. And today, that is the story of my life, where I have seen God opening doors because he has spoken. That is why you need God's word. You don't need your friend's word. Because your friends have got no backing power to fulfill their words. But with God, there's a character behind his word. You need God's word. And so anyway, by 2002, they gave me a bursary. And the rest is history. Now, maybe you feel disqualified to see God's work and God's hand in your life. But I want you to know that when you turn your heart to the Lord, he will still fulfill that word. You see, it is us who move away from God, but God remains. So you were a good child. You were a great believer, and he released a word for you. And somehow life happened and you moved away from God. Let me tell you, that word is still there. When you come back to church, when you come back to God, you will find that word there, waiting for you to realign your life with the word. So you feel disqualified today. Heaven is waiting for you. We're talking about the God of the comebacks. When you come back to God in humility and brokenness of heart, he doesn't say, because of what you did, I'm withdrawing my word. He doesn't do that. He is too God to withdraw words like we do. Sorry, I did not mean it. I didn't realize what it will require of me. I'm sorry, I can't do it. God will never come back to you and say, my friend, I'm sorry, I can't do it. He is bound by his word. You need his word. Not my word. Now, when the 70 years were fulfilled, God jumped into action. It's as if that word is calling out from the earth. They say, hey, it is time. It is time for this word to be fulfilled. I want you to understand there is a word that speaks back to God. That is why when we pray, we mustn't just use our wisdom and abilities. We must speak God's word. Because he hears and he pays attention to his word. So when the time had come, the Lord went into action. I want you to know that God is punctual in the fulfillment of his word. God is always on time. Not on your time, but on his time. Glory be to God. When heavenly time has arrived, God will make it happen. That is why the Bible says, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. In his time. Heaven is waiting for the timing of the word. And when the 70 years had been fulfilled, the word of God was brought into activity. And God started looking and say, who can I use in this moment? And the closest one who was most influential was Cyrus. That's why I'm saying to you, there is no system on earth, there's no authority on earth that can withstand God's word. When the word of God is ready to be fulfilled, where a nation is at war with itself, in a moment there'll be peace in a nation. Why? That's what God does. So when 70 years were accomplished, God did not waste time. Let me give you another example. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, but when the fullness of time had come. Just see that. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. The prophets of old were waiting for the Messiah to come. They were wanting God to release the promise. Isaiah prophesied the coming of the Messiah. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Glory be to God. God with us, Emmanuel. Isaiah was talking about Jesus. Isaiah 53 talking about by his stripes we were healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the kingdom of his God shall be on his shoulders. He was talking about Jesus, but Jesus did not come then. 700 years after the prophecy of Isaiah, the Messiah was born. Nothing can stop the fulfillment of a word whose time has come. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. In Isaiah 7, the Bible talks about how a virgin shall give birth. The prophetic word that was released by Isaiah 700 years before was fulfilled. And when time is time, people of God, God's word will become alive. Born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Hallelujah. The redemptive plan of God was put in place before the foundations of the earth. The Bible tells us, before the foundations of the earth, the lamb was slain. God knew what was going to happen, but it was not time. But when time came, something happened. Hallelujah. You know what? There's a statement that I like. Someone said, rain is only good for those who have seed in the ground. Meaning that a farmer without seed in the ground does not dance around when it's raining because he knows there's no harvest for him. Rain is only good enough for those who've got seed in the ground. Let me extend that to what I'm talking about. The timing of God is only good enough for those who have the seed of the word in their hearts. I want you to know, time will come. And the Bible tells us there is a time for everything under the earth. I want you to know that when you don't have God's word hidden in your heart, it doesn't matter how much you pray, nothing will happen. So the timing of God is only good for those who have the word in their heart. Without God's word, you have no hope for a good future. So when we declare Jeremiah 29 verse 11, without God's backing, we have a problem. We will confess that until we cannot speak and we'll see nothing. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 was written preceding the promise of the deliverance. God said through Jeremiah, after 70 years for Babylon, I will come and bring you back into this place. For I know the plans that I have for you. So when they go into Babylon, I'm not going to entirely destroy you. That is why Jeremiah was telling them, go marry in that land. Go build houses in that land. For the Lord will bless you. Pray for that land. As you pray for the well-being of that land, in its prosperity, you shall prosper. They understood there was a promise. The Lord wasn't just taking them. He was going to do something with them and bring them back. For I know the plans that I have for you. Now, if you are to confess Jeremiah 29 verse 11 properly, you must have a word of promise in your heart. God must have spoken to you. Then you can stand and declare, for I know, God says, he knows the good plans that I have for me. What are those good plans? They must be anchored in his word. Does somebody hear me this morning? Put this down. We have confidence that God's prophecies and promises will be fulfilled. Where do we get this confidence from? Numbers 23:19. We know that God is not a man that he should lie. Hallelujah. Matthew 24 verse 35. We know that heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall not pass away. Isaiah 40 verse 8. We know that the word of God endures forever and he abides forever faithfully. We know that his promises will be fulfilled in our lives. Glory be to God. So the nature of God must prompt you and I to trust him. Now, I want to finish off by this. I want you to know that there are two aspects with regards to the fulfillment of God's word in your life. The first aspect is that God will fulfill his word because he is sovereign. There are times where God will not need anyone's permission. He will do what he wants because he is sovereign. He is a self-existing God. He does not report to any other God. God will fulfill his word because he is sovereign. It means that whether we want it or not, there are times where God will come and he will fulfill his word. Let me tell you, when Jesus came, it was not because people were busy begging for Jesus to come. No, it was because the time for that word had come. We did not go to heaven and asking, release Jesus. But when the time had come, God released his son Jesus to die for us on the cross. So I want you to know that the first aspect is he is a sovereign God and he will do what he wants to do. There are many people who are scared about the sovereignty of God. I want you to know that the sovereignty of God is for your good. Whatever God does, it is for your good. That's the first aspect. The second aspect regarding God's word being fulfilled is that God wants men to believe him. God wants you to trust him. God wants you to petition him to fulfill his word. That is the second aspect that involves you. You've got to be involved in the fulfillment of God's word. Now put this down. God wants to partner with man to fulfill his plans on earth. Why? He finds pleasure in co-laboring with his creation. He doesn't want to just come impose things on you, but he wants to co-labor with you. He wants to partner with you. So when there is a word, you must align yourself with that word. And we must demonstrate that we trust him. Does somebody hear me this morning? So when we pray, it's not as if we are trying to convince God. When we pray, we are trying to understand how do we align ourselves with God's word. So prayer is an issue of alignment. Because when our hearts are not aligned with God's will, God might take longer to fulfill his word. I want you to understand that. When our hearts are not aligned with God's word might take longer. And what I'm telling you is in scripture. Why were the children of Israel 40 years in the desert? Was it because God had forgotten about his word? No, they were not ready. Their hearts were not aligned. They tested God in the desert. When they were at the verge of possessing the land, they could not believe God, that God was able to fight for them. They were not aligned. And because of that, God said, turn around, go back into the desert. You are not ready to possess the promised land. They went back, and 40 years down the road, they were still going round and round in the desert. And God had said, because of your hardened hearts, none of those who left Egypt will enter the promised land except for Joshua and his brother. I want you to understand this morning that if we are not aligned with God's promises through prayer, some promises will be held back until we are aligned. Now in Babylon, there was a man who understood that principle. And that man was Daniel. I want you to know that there was a man called Daniel. Some of the fulfillment of promises in your life, it is because there is a Daniel around you. It is because you have arisen with the spirit of Daniel who says, something has to happen. God, you promised. Come and do what you promised. Daniel chapter 9 verse 1. In the first year of Darius, now you need to understand that Cyrus died. Cyrus's son took over, and then Darius took over. And Darius continued the rebuilding of the temple. Because we have Daniel here in the days of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the kingdom of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the sacred books, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. You know what he did? He didn't shelf it. So I turned my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and petition, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. The Lord wants to partner with you. The continuation of the fulfillment of this word was accelerated by a man called Daniel who sought the face of God. Go and read the whole of Daniel 9. You see that Daniel was taking up intercessory prayer, asking for the forgiveness of his brother's sins. He would say, Father, forgive us, for we have sinned, for we have done this. We have committed adultery. We have committed idolatry. We have done this and that. He confessed the sins of his people. And God said, I'm going to continue until this word is fulfilled. This morning, what are you doing with God's word? As long as you can come up. What are you doing with God's word? Don't shelf God's word. Go into prayer, because when you pray, you'll understand what is needed on your part to enable the fulfillment of the promise. I want you to know that almost all promises are conditional. If you do this, I will do that. We don't like the if. We want the I will do. But I want you to know the if is as powerful as I will do. So when you understand the if, in prayer, you align yourself with the if, with the condition. So there are many promises that we have in God's word that we don't qualify to have because we haven't met the condition. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and forsake their evil ways and call to me, I will hear them from heaven above. I will come down and heal their land. If my people, let's stand on our feet. Come on, let's clap our hands to Jesus. If my people who are called by my name, what is it that the Lord has been saying to you? We've been unfaithful, but he remains faithful. Throughout generation, and he will be faithful to you. He'll be faithful to this church in the name of Jesus. Come on, I want you to pray right now and say, Lord, I open myself to your word. Lord, I trust your word. I trust you. Speak to me, Lord. Talk to me in this coming week. Lord, you know my situation. Will you speak to me, Lord? Come on, I'll just talk to the Lord briefly. Somebody needs to hear God. Somebody needs to hear God. Somebody needs to read God's word. Somebody needs to rediscover just bathing yourself in God's word and listening to God's word. Father, we pray today that by your spirit, Lord, you would stir up our hearts and give us a hunger for your word. Give us a hunger for your word, Lord. Oh, God Almighty, we pray today. Father, there's nothing that you do without speaking first. Lord, at creation, you said, let there be light. And there was light. Lord, even in our situations, will you speak life, oh God? Lord, in the name of Jesus, will you speak life to our situations, King of Glory? Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that this church will be a church given to your word. We pray that the men in this church will be men of the word. The women in this church will be women of the word. Father, we pray this morning, let our families be given to God's word in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, we thank you this morning. We're coming back, Lord, to falling in love with your word. In Jesus' name. With every eye closed and every heart bowed down, I want to pray for somebody today who says, Pastor, I want Jesus. I want you to know.